Can everybody hear me? Oh, there we go. I know it's on now. Thank you for having me back again. If you remember, I was here with you the first Sunday night of the new year, and we talked a little bit about resolutions. Now, I asked for a raise of hands that Sunday night. How many people actually made resolutions? We have one that's honest. One made a resolution. Well, at this point in time, we've had 36% drop out of their resolution. Since you were the only one that raised your hand, Mark, have you dropped out? Well, in the next couple months, we're going to have about another 14% drop out of that. But tonight, I want us to think about commitment. We made resolutions, or some people made resolutions. At least one did. Did they stay committed? Are we committed? That's what I want us to focus on for the next few minutes of our time. February 15th, 1921, in New York City. The scene here is the operating room at Kane Summit Memorial Hospital. A doctor is performing an appendectomy. In many ways, this event leading to the surgery is very uneventful. The patient's complained of severe abdominal pain. The diagnosis is clear. The patient has complained, and the patient has an inflamed appendix. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane is going to perform the surgery. In his distinguished 37 years medical career, he's performed over 4,000 appendectomies. So this surgery is going to be very uneventful, except for two things with the surgery. Dr. O'Neill has decided that local anesthetics is better than general anesthesia. And most of the doctors agree with him that this is a pretty good thing. He contends that a local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in principle. But in order for them to agree in practice, they need to see the theory applied. Kind of like us today. We may agree with the principle, but until we see it applied, we may not do that. So Dr. Kane starts searching for a volunteer, a patient who is willing to undergo the surgery with the use of a local anesthetic. But a volunteer is not easily found. You see, they don't want to be awake throughout the surgery. They're afraid the anesthesia might wear off, that they might feel pain. But eventually he finds a candidate, one that's willing to try this. So that Tuesday morning, February the 15th, the historic operation begins. The patient is prepped and wheeled into the operating room. A local anesthetic is applied, just as he has done a thousand of times. Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissue, locates the appendix, and then he excises it and concludes the surgery. During the procedure, the patient complains of only minor discomfort. The volunteer is taken into post-op and placed in the hospital. He recovers quickly and dismissed 2 days later. Dr. Kane proved his theory. Thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer, Kane demonstrated that local anesthetics was a viable and even a preferable alternative. But there are two facts that made this story unique. And we talked about one, the use of a local anesthetic. The second is the patient. See, the patient was Dr. Kane. He was his own patient. He prepped himself. They took him into the surgery, and he did his own surgery with the use of a local anesthetic. Now, isn't that commitment? I could not even fathom that. But he was so used to talking about this principle that for people to commit to this principle, he had to prove it. He had to go in and do his own surgery. And now we know today that we use local anesthetics a whole lot more than general anesthesia, thanks to this one little thing, because he was committed. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 18, it says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." for this is commendable. See, it's easy for us to be submissive when they're good to us. But the Bible tells us to be submissive even when they are harsh, because it's commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, and when he suffered, did not threaten. But I want us to take a look right here at this one step. See, he was threatened, he was reviled, and he suffered. And he didn't return the favor. It says, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed himself. Just like the story a little bit earlier, the doctor was so committed, he even was willing to do his own surgery. Jesus here is at the cross. He's about to undergo death. And people are yelling at him, spitting in his face, beating him. He has blood going everywhere. And he did not do anything but commit himself to him who judges righteously. Are we committed like this? Are we committed to stay to the fact? What is commitment? Commitment is the state of being dedicated to a job, a cause, an activity, or a person. It's an obligation that restricts freedom of our actions. You ever thought about that? Commitment restricts us. When we make a commitment, we are bound to that. As Christians, we are supposed to make a commitment to God. It tells us to change. And we're going to look at that a little bit later. Some things we need and can commit to. Rules. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? I got to thinking about this. We are committed to rules. We're committed and bound by the laws of this land. Sometimes we break those laws, don't we? Sometimes, not knowingly, we break those laws. Speed limits. I see a couple of smiles out there. They're there in place for our safety. We need to commit to rules, because when we break them, we become non-committed. If Dr. O'Neill had not been committed to what he was trying to tell everybody, we probably would still be using general anesthesia. If Christ had not been committed to the cause, we might not have hope of eternal life. We need to be committed to the rules. We need to be committed when going gets tough. We need to be committed when people count on us. We also need to be committed to be the example. Now, the Bible gives us good examples of all of these. But first, I want us to look at examples of people that were not committed. People that were not committed to the rules. Several people probably come to your mind when you think of that. Speeders is the first one that came to my mind, because I've had a speeding ticket. And I broke the rules. I've gotten the consequences of that. Adam and Eve was the very first people that I can think of. They were the very first people on this earth. God created them something nice. Open up to Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God, in verse 7, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we see this beautiful place. God has formed man. And now He's going to put man in this garden to tend and to keep it. He tells him now, Adam, I'm going to put you here. I want you to tend and keep this garden. But there's one thing you mustn't do. Eat of the tree. From all the trees you can freely eat except for this one tree. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Pretty simple rule. Don't eat of one tree. That's His only rule. The rest of it is to tend and keep the garden. Now, we know what the rest of the story was. The serpent, being more cunning than anybody else, came to Eve. It says, hadn't the Lord told you can eat of any tree you want? Yes, but the day that I touch this, I will die. I will surely die. We know Satan put one word in there. You shall not surely die. And she seen the tree was good for food, and she took of it. Now, men, aren't we supposed to listen to our wives? Adam did just what he was told. He listened to his wife, and she gave the fruit to him, and he ate as well. They became non-committed now. They broke the rules. And because they broke the rules, they had to suffer consequences. When we break God's laws, we have to suffer the consequences. We become non-committed, and it separates us from God. When we sin, we are separated. God hides His face from us, as it says in Scripture. We need to be committed to the rules. When the going gets tough, isn't that hard sometimes to be committed to something even when it's tough? Think back to the very first story. He wants to prove his theory that a local anesthetic is better. And he searches for a volunteer to undergo an appendectomy with the use of a local anesthetic. You're going to be awake this whole time. I'm going to be able to talk to you. You're going to be able to tell me if it hurts. And no volunteer was to be found. The going got tough, so he had to do it. Now, the very first person that came to my mind was Jonah. Kids, do y'all remember this story? The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, the great city, and speak against it, because their sin has come up to me. I want you to go there and tell them to repent, or I will destroy the city in 3 days. Anybody know the backstory to Jonah? The city of Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. They're arch rivals. And God tells him, hey, I want you to go to your rivals. I want you to go to your enemy. And I want you to tell them to repent. I'm going to destroy the city. Jonah goes, okay, I'm going to run the opposite direction. He gets in a boat and goes straight to Tarshish. He flees the other way because the going got tough. And when the going got tough, he ran. As he's running, he's on a boat, he's asleep. God causes a big storm. And so the people that are driving the boat, sailing the boat, start throwing things out to make it lighter, to try to keep it afloat. And they draw straws to see who brought this upon them. And the straw falls on Jonah. What have you done to us? I serve the true and living God. And I have hidden my face from Him. I am running away. I am not doing what I was told to do. But throw me overboard and you shall be safe. And the Lord prepared a great fish. And he spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish. Not only that, it vomited him up. on dry land. Not only did he have to sit there in the belly of a fish, but he had to come back out of that fish. Just think about that picture for a minute. The going got tough, didn't it? And he ran. But again, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. We got to be committed, even if the going gets tough. Even in my life, sometimes the going gets tough. And we don't need to falter. In all of our lives, in Christian lives, it's going to get tough. Remember in Revelation chapter 2, in verse 10, even some of you are going to face tribulation 10 days, but be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. The going's going to get tough. Because narrow is the way and hard is the way. Easy is the road to sin. Easy is the road to destruction. But I'm making the road narrow. And few are going to be there that find it. The going's going to get tough. But we need to be committed. People count on us, don't they? We need to be committed because people count on us. First person that popped to my mind was Judas Iscariot. You ever thought about that? He was with the Lord for 3 years. Right there at His feet, learning from the Lord. One of His closest companions. Even kept the money for Him. People counted on Him. And He denied the Lord. He went and said, "What will you give me if I give you the Lord? What will you give me if I give you this, Jesus?" And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. And he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, for a year's wage. Are we committed when people count on us? My grandpa always used to tell me, when you shake a man's hand and look him in the eye, that's your word. That's your bond. People count on that. In this day and age, in the world we live in today, we were talking about this morning. Sometimes even you can have a signed note or a signed document and it don't mean anything. But people count on us and we need to be committed to that word. We need to be committed when we tell people something. Also, we need to be committed to live the example. People that didn't commit to live the example is us. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are our own examples of that. Every day in our lives, we fall short of the glory of God. But we need to be committed not to fall short. But think about those people that are committed and give us examples of commitment every day in our Bible. Remember Saul? He was committed to the rules, wasn't he? In Acts chapter 2, it talks about that. Or Acts chapter 21, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 37. Says, "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' He replied, 'Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?' But Paul said, 'I am a Jew from Tarsus in Sicily, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to these people.' So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in Hebrew, saying, 'Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now.' And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. He said, 'I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Sicily, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of all the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. He was committed to the rules. He was so committed to what they were teaching him, to the Father's law, that he went and bound Christians. He went and led them to their deaths. And God stepped in, said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And we now know that he became committed to the right cause. Remember, commitment is the state of being dedicated to a job, a cause, an activity, or a person. He was committed one way that was the wrong way. But when he heard the truth, he changed. Things can be changed. We can be committed and be changed and commit to the right cause, to the right truth. We can be committed even when the going gets tough. Job is the example that came to mind. You see, Job was an upright man, blameless in Uz. And we see that Satan came walking when they met with God. He said, Does he only worship you because you built a hedge around him? He said, take away something from him, he'll surely curse you. God gave him power to do everything to him but except touch him. And we know that in one day he lost everything. His entire family except his wife, all of his livestock, everything that mattered to him, he lost it in one day. It was really bad because as one servant was telling him what happened, another servant came and told him something else happened. And then again and again and so on and so forth till everything was gone except his health and his wife. Now, I couldn't imagine that. That had to be extremely tough. You know, every once in a while we get told bad news. And the going gets tough, don't it? A little over 3 years ago, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, I was working for a company that I thought was a pretty good company, selling hot sauce all over the Southeast. Having fun, having the time of my life, running around selling hot sauce. All of a sudden, I'm 7 hours from home. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina to sell some hot sauce. I'm about to walk into a grocery store and I'd talk to the owner for 2 hours. I'd went to Atlanta, sold a bunch in Atlanta, and drove to Columbia. He called me and talked for 2 hours on this drive. And I'm like, "Well, sir, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I've got to get out here and I've got to go sell some hot sauce." "Well, let me tell you why I truly called you." "Uh-oh, what's going on?" "Well, you see, we spent more than we took in. And I need to lay everybody off." "Wow. You waited 2 hours to tell me this as I'm driving? You know, I'm 7.5 hours from home." "Well, also, all the expenses you incurred, I'm not going to pay you for those either." "Oh. Well, okay. Well, what do you want me to do with this company truck I'm in?" "I want you to park it." Wow. That going got tough real quick. But we don't give up. Job lost everything in one day except his health. And it says he praised God. And then here comes Satan again. "Hey, you're still watching out for him. Take some of his health away and he'll surely curse you to your face. Okay, you can touch him, just don't kill him. And they strike him with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now, I can't imagine that. That's pain right there. He couldn't even walk. All he could do was sit in agony. And he praised God. Even his friends came and sat with him for 3 days, and they said absolutely nothing. And he praised God. His wife came to him and even said, "Curse God and die." But he was committed to God. He praised God. And at the very end of the story, we know what Paul Harvey would say is the rest of the story. He got back everything plus some. Because he was committed to God. Are we committed like Job when the going gets tough? What about when people count on us? Can they count on us? Can they always know that if we say we're going to be there, that we're there? As some old people would say, are you going to be there with bells on? I'll be there with bells on. In Romans chapter 5, Jesus is the perfect example of this, when people count on him. Starting in verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we were as far away from God as we could be. We were still sinners. And Christ bore our sins on the cross for us. We counted on Him, even though we didn't know it. We count on Jesus. Can people count on us like that? Also, we need to be living the example. Sometimes we fall short of that. I know I do. You know, when they say you point, you got four fingers pointing back at you. I got to live the example too. Notice I point like this. That way maybe I can't point back at myself. But think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They truly lived the example. At a young age, they were gathered into the king's palace to be fed part of the king's delicacies. And they stood up and said, no, we're not going to defile our bodies this way. Can you imagine how much guts that took? How much stamina that took? Now, I was a teenage boy once. Yes, I know, kids, it's hard to believe. But when you're offered big portions of food, what's a teenage boy want to do? They want to eat to their full, don't they? And if you offer them steak or potatoes, they're going to eat again. Or throw out a pizza there, and they're probably going to eat some more. That's what was going on here. They said, no, we're not going to defile our bodies. Let us eat vegetables. Give us a test. If in 10 days we're not better than the others, we'll go back to doing what you want us to do. But we're not going to defile our bodies before God. Okay. Well, after 10 days, they were found better than all the others. So God blessed them in 3 years. They did this. And they were wiser and better than all those around. They lived that example. Even when the king decided to make a golden image of himself and tell everybody to bow down and worship that image, they didn't. And they even got ready to throw them in the fiery furnace. And they went to the furnace and said, our God will take care of us. If not, we're going to die for God. We're committed to the cause. Even as they were binding them, taking them to the furnace, the two men leading them fell in and died. And here they are walking in the midst of this fiery furnace that's 10 times hotter. And the king finally tells them, come out from there. and tell us about this God you worship, this true God. They were committed. Are we committed like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be the example? When people look at us, do they know that we truly love God and that we're giving the example every day? We need to commit today to be Christians that God called us to be. He told us to be the example every day. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I'm not only asking you, I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. It's not asking too much. But I'm going to beg you to do this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As Christians, are we being transformed from this world? God called us out. He called us to be different. Are we doing that? Are we committed to that? Are we living like everybody else in the world? When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture. Ordering his men to march to the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them, "Look down at the water below." When they looked down, all their ships were on fire. Now they had no way to retreat back to the country in which they came from. All they could do was press on to the goal, to press on and ensure victory. See, Caesar was smart. He deliberately cut off the way for them to flee. So they had no choice but to commit to what he was wanting to do. Are we committed like that? Are we committed enough to go forward and never look back? That's what God calls us to do every day. He calls us to go out into the world, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, to be transformed, to be called out to be different. Are we acting like that? Are we the example that we should be? We're also told to pick up our cross daily and follow after Him. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." See, we got to pick up our cross and follow him, just as he carried his cross. See, we're called to be different, to be the example for others, so that we can lead others to them. Christ even tells us to go into all the world to preach, teach, and make disciples of men out of every nation. Not only to teach them, but to teach every creature, as it says in Mark 16. Bringing others to Him. Because at the end of this life, we're going to receive a crown. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But skip on over to chapter 4. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." But here's the beautiful part. "Not to him only, but to all who loved his appearing." Isn't that wonderful? If we are committed to Christ, there is a reward. That's the crown of righteousness. That's life eternal. Maybe we've not been as committed. Maybe we're like some people that make a resolution and we don't keep that resolution. I still kind of like my brothers. I make a resolution never to make one. He keeps that every year. 100% goal right there. But we need to be committed to God. We don't need to make a commitment just to fizzle out. This is about the time in resolutions where everybody starts dropping out. Those people that make the resolution to lose weight. Well, Valentine's has come and gone and we've got chocolate. There went my diet. Or for all the college students, I'm going to work out and look good. Well, spring break is right around the corner and then it'll fizzle back out. God don't want us to fizzle out. He wants us to be committed 100%. To be the example. To follow the rules. To teach others. To be there when the going gets tough. And to live for Him. To pick up our cross daily and follow after Him. There may be some that haven't committed to Christ yet. You can do that tonight. You can become a Christian and commit yourself to Christ. Or you may have fallen away and need prayers and strength and guidance. We can pray with you and for you to encourage you. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.